Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, with Michael P. McCarthy.
Good evening.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I got lots of energy.
You do? Well, that's good to hear, Mikey. You know, you don't get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, obviously.
Sometimes I do if I leave my notifications on and you start emailing me.
Anyway, we're here on an open show, Mikey. We're here to answer our listeners' questions. They get to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, direct the conversation tonight. Plenty of topics to talk about if you'd like. Taxes are always important this time of year. Maybe you're thinking about the stock market, or maybe you've heard some new things about Maryland. Hey, Mike, I got to give Maryland a little round of applause here, you know? You know, I rip them to shreds, you know, but I want to be equally opportunistic in my praise when they deserve praise. And
right.
It sounds like they haven't finalized it yet, but they sounds like they're going to pass a bill that's going to allow any Marylander 65 and older, single making under $100,000, married making under $150,000,
$150,000. Okay, you're sure, huh?
You can check it out. I've just read it a few times. So $150,000, that their income would be tax-free. Now, what does that mean? When does it happen? How does it happen? I've heard there's a phase-in. I've heard that it sunsets in 2027. I don't have anything more than that. It's not passed yet. It's not signed by the governor, as far as I know. But it sounds like, you know, Governor—
There's enough support. They're
Governor
pretty sure.
Hogan has made it clear that he thinks it's a done deal, or he would have never come out and made the kind of announcements that he's made. So I would assume it's going to go through. So give him a round of applause if they pass it and we get to read it and it sounds really good. That's great. But why only 100 and 150? Why, you know, do you think you can run a state only on those people? Why don't you make it for lots of people? Why don't you make it for everybody, no matter who they are living in the state? We're going to Al in Essex. How can I help you?
Yes, Drew. When my mother died, my father had my name added to his house.
Okay.
And then when he passed away, I added one of my daughters to the house. My question is when I was added to the house, is that my cost basis for the house?
No. So the way it works is the price that your parents paid for the house plus their improvements up to the day your mother died divided by 2 plus the fair market value of the house divided by 2 at the year or at the day that your mother died, that's the basis of your ownership in that house. Did I make that at all clear?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like what you just said is that whatever the house was valued at the time.
No.
Put on the house?
No.
No?
No, no. It's the day you were added to the house, your cost basis is the cost basis in the hands of your father. Okay, now that's going to be 50% of the step-up value of the house at the time your mother passed. So let's say your mother passed and the house was worth $200,000 and your father paid $100,000 for the house. So you get half of the $200,000, which is $100,000, and then you get half of the $100,000 that your father paid for the house, and that's $50,000. So your cost basis would be $150,000, not $200,000. I mean, I don't know if I'm making that clear.
No, I thought it might be. I thought it might be when at the time that you
you're confusing when somebody leaves a house to you at death and when somebody gives you a house. When somebody gives you a house, then it's the cost basis in the hands of the giver, and that can be very complicated as to what that is. If somebody left it to you, if your mother left you her half of the house at her death, then your cost basis would be solely her cost, her step up in value at the time of her death. But because your father put your name on after she passed away.
Other way around.
Her father put it on.
Mother put it on after the father passed away.
No. Father put it on after mother passed away, right? Isn't that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
See?
Yes. I
got
was
two
added
right.
After mom died, right.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing that you really should know. I don't agree with you putting your child's name on that house. I think you've made a potential mistake. Is your daughter married?
Yes.
If your daughter runs into marital trouble, that house comes into play in that divorce.
Uh-huh.
If your daughter gets a liability lawsuit against her, that house comes into play. You know,
it doesn't matter if both of our names are on the house, is what I mean.
I'm saying that it just comes into play. I'm not saying what will happen. I'm just saying that your decision to put her name on that house is not necessarily a great decision. And if I were you, I would go talk to a real lawyer who understands these issues and ask them if there's a better way to get the house to your daughter upon your passing than what you've done in the sense of putting her name on that house with you. And it doesn't protect the house from Medicaid if you go into a long-term care situation either. Raj Gul is going to be on the show with me in about a month and a half. You ought to ask Raj when he comes on. He'd be a great guy to talk to about this, okay?
All righty. Thank you very much, Drew.
All right. Take care. Good. A lot of things going on.
I'm glad everyone got to hear that because we've seen that a number of times.
And it's usually wrong. Anyway, we're going to be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
That sounds like the backside of They're Coming to Take Me Away to the Funny Farm. Do you know what that song is on the backside of the track of the 45 to They're Coming to Take Me? It's They're Coming to Take Me Away to the Funny Farm in reverse. You know? It's one of my all-time favorite records.
And when the backside, yes, we mean records.
Yes, it is a record. Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. And we had Ed, right? What was his name?
Yeah,
I think it was Ed.
Listen,
right.
I've questioned you twice on the show already, and I've been wrong twice. So I'm keeping my mouth shut until I'm sure.
Anyway, we're here on an open show. He had a great question on houses. Brenda wants to talk about clarification of something we talked about in the very beginning. But maybe you have a topic on taxes or investments or IRAs or insurance policies. That's something we haven't talked about a lot lately, you know, insurance policies. Mm-hmm. And there's so much to talk about insurance policies.
You know,
when we have new clients come in do financial physicals, I'd say 99% of the time we're fixing all their insurances.
Oh, and it's so scary. What if something had happened while they had their insurance?
Oh, it's just, I mean, you know, I've seen
cases. And we don't sell insurance.
Anyway, we don't sell anything. We just try to give good advice, risk management advice. Anyway, we're here on the Open Show, 410-922-6680. Let's not make Brenda hold any longer. Brenda, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. That's okay. I'm entertained. I was calling to touch briefly on the subject you mentioned of exempting Maryland residents 65 and older up to a certain amount of income
right.
from taxes.
Right. That's what the governor tells us.
Well, that's absolutely great news because I've been thinking about moving away from the state when it's time to retire because taxes are so high.
Well, you know, the first thing you have to think about is how much income do you think you'll have in retirement? If your income will be under $100,000, you know, I don't think it'll be all that bad in Maryland from an income tax point of view. Now, Maryland still has high sales tax and high property taxes, but at least they're going to give you a good break for income taxes.
You got to really look at both sides of the coin. First, the cost of living, which includes the taxes.
And we live
housing.
So close to D.C., so everything's more expensive and so forth, yeah.
Yep. And then, you know, the other factors. I mean, where are your kids and your grandkids? And, you know, one
we
of the
moved
things,
away from ours, Mike.
Well, they'll come visit. It's a nice place. But one of the things that I've just heard so much from people lately about the struggle to move from Maryland is the healthcare system up here.
Yeah, you know,
which is a big draw
good.
For people if you've got an issue.
Well, you know, down where we have the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville. So, you know, it's not a bad option also. Anyway, so there are other ones. Anything else, Brenda, on that?
Well, I was wondering if you knew if that income would also include income from investment properties, say like rental properties?
You know, at this point in time, we don't have enough information to say exactly what it means. And they haven't passed it, so they haven't given us a bill to actually look at, you know, et cetera.
The language they used was retirement income. So we have to wait a little while. So retirement income in Pennsylvania means IRA distributions and pensions.
And 401ks and things like that, you know. So, you know, that could be what they mean. And it also sunsets in 2027, I've heard, too.
It does. But one of the things that you and I talked about is in the governor of 2027, regardless of which party he or she is, do they want to be that governor?
To say no. So we don't know enough, but it's at least a step in the right direction. You know, Brenda?
Yeah, for sure. It's a help. It all helps.
Once we get better, we're going to give you full information about it,
sure
okay?
Will.
Well, thank you so much.
All right.
Stay on the air.
All right. You take care. Thank you. And we're going to Andrew in Bowie. Andrew, how can we help you?
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm in that situation right now with my house paid for and be kind of nice to get rid of some taxes.
Yeah.
My question for you is, what kind of dealings have you had with respect to Maryland personal property tax?
Personal property tax mean for like a business?
Okay, here's a scenario. I have a townhouse in Bowie here.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
And I'm within about another month of having the place paid off. The taxes on that townhouse are about $3,400
okay.
a year. And I've seen very little or heard very little about personal property tax and would like to get it down because I've followed as a senior citizen for this last year to get it down to something reasonable. That's what scares me. What have you all heard or seen of?
So let me just when you say you keep using the term personal property tax, and that means something different to me than I think it means to you. And you're talking about real estate property taxes, right?
Correct.
Okay. So rental properties, you pay the property tax that they tell you got to pay. There is no discount for property taxes for a rental property. Now, your personal home, if you make under $60,000 a year of income, there's a good chance that you can get some relief from your property taxes if
Correct.
It's your personal residence, okay?
Correct.
So, you know, there's rules about that, though, is the amount of assets that you have can't be more than, I believe, $200,000, not including your personal residence.
Which county is that? Is the home in?
Yeah.
It's Prince George's County, the land of time forgot.
I mean, literally,
because here, living here on the east side of Washington, the only thing we hear is from talk radio how great things are in Virginia.
So anyway, you know, just the rental property alone would probably negate you from being able to get that homeowner's senior homeowner credit if you wanted to. How old are you?
Old enough, no better.
Okay, so
I'm 65. I'll be 60.
Right. So you're
July,
potentially so. You're potentially eligible for it, and
correct.
You should do a Google search on the senior homeowner tax credit. Okay. And look at the asset requirement and look at the income requirement that they have there. And see if you would be able to benefit from it. But my guess is going to be, if you're making more than $60,000 with a rental home that you own, my guess is going to be there's nothing there for you.
Yeah.
All right. Unfortunately.
Okay.
But, you know, that's another thing that our legislature could consider. You know, you want to give people breaks at 65 to stay in the state. Well, this is another one that you could consider a little better for, you know?
You want to hear a couple stats on it?
All right, go ahead. I got a minute.
Yeah.
So 0 to 28,000 of income, 100% tax relief. 28,000 to 45,000 of income, 50% tax relief.
Okay.
65
That's
or
good.
Over.
Yeah, but then when you get over 60,000, it's $90.
I'm in Prince George's County, Virginia.
Virginia. I was going to say, those don't sound like the numbers.
I'll look it up, and if we have
Maryland.
Time later, I'll read it out.
It's a dollar amount, you know. It's like if your property taxes are over $1,500, then they'll give you so much money, you know, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to give that to you after we come back.
Find it.
Unless you're in Prince George's, Virginia.
Yeah.
Very helpful, Mike.
I know. My Google skills aren't what they used to be.
Anyway, we're on an open show, Andrew. I appreciate your call. And if you want to call in before while we're going on this pause, 410-922-6680. That's 410-922-6680. Nobody's on the line, so you'll be the first one up if you call now. 410-922-6680.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show tonight. So the first half of the show, we had people calling in before we even got on the air. The second half of the show, we don't have anybody on the air. So if you want to call in and be able to ask your question, get a lot of time to answer your question, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, 410-922-6680. You can call in and ask your question, and there's nobody on the line. But in the interim, Mikey's going to now tell you what Maryland's tax credit.
Yes, instead of Virginia, we'll go with Maryland this time. So first off, it is based on income, like Drew said, and it's all income, any income, not adjusted gross income, Social Security.
It's your full Social Security
full
check.
Social
it's
Security.
Not your taxable Social Security check.
You have to have less than $200,000 outside of your home value.
I want to make sure nobody gets this, Mike.
And if your income is over $60,000, you'll have phased out of it. But I'll give you...
No, you don't. You still get it. It's $90 more per thousand over $60,000 phase out.
All right. Well, we'll have to fact check that because I'm reading your combined gross household income cannot exceed $60,000.
Really? No, I'm pretty sure that the property tax just keeps going up that they phase out. But go ahead, give the numbers out.
All right. So if you're less than $8,000 of income, the most your property taxes can be is $0.
Okay.
On the other side of the barbell, if your income is less than $30,000, or the middle, I guess, one over the row, your property tax can't be more than $1,680. It's also only based on the property tax, based on the first $300,000 of the home's value. And the chart doesn't go from $30,000 to $60,000, but then it says at the end, a maximum of $60,000.
And I think that's $3,300 worth of income. I mean, property taxes that it represent. That you, if your property tax is more than like $3,360,000, then that's where they're going to limit you to.
Right.
Which doesn't sound like, you know, all that great a break and very complicated, as you said.
But, you know, it does help the poverty-stricken senior citizens
Some,
who end
yeah.
up kind of living the hobbit life in their home.
Yeah. Let's go to our callers now. We have still a couple open lines, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in. 410-922-6680. Nick in Perry Hall, how can we help you?
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call. I had a question on a family property.
Okay.
My grandfather purchased a vacation home back in the 70s, and him and my grandmother passed on, and now it's my father's generation and his siblings are running the property, and they're getting to the point now where they want to pass it on to me, my siblings, and my father's siblings' kids, so my cousins.
Right.
So we've all agreed to continue to, pay the upkeep, property tax, and everything. But my question is there a way to structure the property where we could divide it into shares between my brothers and cousins, where no one individual share owner could force a liquidation on everybody
yeah,
else?
Yeah, so what you're talking about is an LLC. A limited liability company, and you definitely want to do this because as the property divides into more and more and more and more and more people, you then cause a situation where you can end up in a disaster where somebody, an outlier, is saying, I want the place sold. And next thing you know, it'll be sold out from under you. So you want an LLC, and it says, here are the people that are in charge, and here are the rules if you want to get out. And here's the way you can, and here's who can come in, and here's who can't. And you really need a great attorney to do an LLC for you and your family on this before you continue to divide it anymore. So talk to your parents and have them put it into an LLC and then start giving the LLC to you guys.
Perfect.
All right. And I would suggest Sean Alavia from Gann and you know Sean Andrew that did the legal work for our firm, you know, Andrew and them did the legal work for our firm about 3 years ago.
Yeah,
Sean
Chuck
Alavia.
Paid all the bills.
Yeah, Chuck paid all the Gann Turner and Gann. Sean
stuff.
Alavia is a great attorney for this exact issue that you're talking about. I think Jeff Higdon actually does some of this work too, you
yep.
know, so he would also do a good job. So you really want to think this out, and you want to get it done right, my friend, or else you could end up in a family mess in the future, okay?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to avoid, so I
yep.
appreciate it.
A family LLC, all right? And it's an easy thing to do. Your parents should do it before they start giving it down the line, all right?
Got it. Thanks
all right.
again. Have a great evening.
Take
you
care.
Too.
Good call. Good question. John in Finksburg, how can we help you?
Hey, how are you? Thanks for
great.
Taking my call.
Yeah, thank you.
I have a question about the cost basis for some co-owned stock.
Okay.
My aunt and uncle owned some stock. My uncle worked for this company for a number of years and accumulated quite a bit of stock starting from the 70s in little small lots.
Okay.
He passed away a few years ago, and my aunt has added me as a co-owner to the stock, and it's not owned by, or not through a brokerage, so they're
CompuShare.
You know, with the whole process.
Yeah, it's owned at the transfer agent, like Mike said, either CompuShare or American
yep.
Stock Transfer. It was
yes,
CompuShare?
Actually, it was. Yes, it was American Stock Transfer, I believe.
Oh, American Stock Transfer. Yep, okay, so go on, and then I'll tell you what I think.
So now I have, you know, this stock co-owned with my aunt. What are the tax implications for me upon her death?
Well, it's not the best way to do it, and also keep in mind, if it's paying dividends right now, you should be reporting half of those dividends on your tax return. Now, she probably reports them all on her tax return, but technically
yeah.
the rule says you're supposed to report half and she's supposed to report half. So
gotcha.
That's a problem. Also, if something happens with you, her stock could be in trouble with your situation if you had marital problems or you had liability issues or something of that sort. And again, when she put you half owner on that stock, whatever her cost basis was is your cost basis now, which won't be as good as if your aunt were to just leave it to you upon her death. The better way to do it would be for her to have you as the sole beneficiary of the stock, as opposed, and you have power of attorney over her finances. That would be the better way to do it. That way you can still control the stock for Auntie if she has problems. And also, upon her death, you would get a full step up in cost basis. Of course, that is, of course, unless Joe gets his way.
Well, and the only thing I'll say except to that is if there's a situation where the aunt has other people vying to try to get her to change things. Like, once you're
the
co-owner,
that's a possibility.
You're the co-owner.
You know, another thing, if Auntie needed long-term medical care, long-term care, that stock could be wiped out. It depends on how much assets she has. So there's lots of things you have to think about here before you accept this joint ownership, et cetera, that there may be many better ways to do it depending on what your greater risk are. Is it long-term care of your aunt, or is it your aunt just passing away? Or, and like Mike says, do you have potentially have other people in her
ear? Your aunt's boyfriend.
You know, that could ask, you know, they could ask her to take the stock out of your name and you know, et cetera. Well,
it's
in his name, he's good as gold. But if you take it out, then she could have other people with a bug in her ear saying, hey, put me on that stock. Don't put John on that stock. You know, so.
Yeah, this was done by my father before he passed in conjunction with his sister. So it's already a done deal. I mean, I could try to undo it.
Yeah, but it can be undone. It can actually be undone without any problem. That's not an issue, but it's just a matter of how do you do it in the best way that gives you all the benefits without any risk in the future. And that's what you're going to be thinking about. But your cost basis will be the cost basis of the one that passed away first. Half of the basis of that person at the time, or the market value of the stock at the time they passed away, plus the original cost basis in the hands of the aunt. And that's going to be almost impossible to figure out. And you know what the IRS views the cost basis to be? If you can't determine it, they consider it zero. You know? So you really want to step up in cost basis for a month if, you know, something should happen to her. So I would really get somebody that can help you think this out and figure out what would be a really good strategy to protect you and the aunt.
It also might be a good idea to have your aunt move that to a brokerage that's going to do some effort of record keeping for dividends and things like that.
Well, Computershare does that, but I tell you, that is the worst company on earth to want to leave your stuff with. Absolutely. You know, we've
American
had
transfer agent.
American Stock or Computershare. I mean, they're just horrible to deal with. And you know, I can sell a stock at Schwab for zero. If I sell it at a place like that, it could easily. How much do you think it's worth? $10,000, $50,000, $100,000, $200,000?
Are you talking about
stock you have, right, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably over half a million.
Yeah, so you know what they would charge you? They might charge you $1,000 to sell that stock that Schwab would sell it for you for free. You know, I mean, these are the worst companies to leave your stock with. Trust me on that one.
Well, they're only there for people who aren't doing anything. They solely exist.
Yeah, they could care less. If you're willing to leave it to us, you know, we're going to take it, you know.
Somebody's still on American Online. That's the common deal.
Anyway, all right, John. I wish I could give you a firm answer, but that's the best I can do. All right.
No, that's good. I'm looking at these slips that he acquired on it, you know, 30 shares here and 40 shares there as kind of probably a payroll share kind of thing.
Yeah, they're going to charge you $300 just to get all the records going back to 1970 something. You know, which is ridiculous. Anyway, I got to run. I got to get off.
Okay.
Take care, John. There you go, Chris. I'm off, so you get to take it away. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli, the financial consultant, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consultant's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Michael P. McCarthy. Michael,
good evening.
Good
again.
Evening. It is still evening, and we're still on an open show, but we're last to our last 10 minutes, Mikey, and we have one caller online, and we're going to go to that one caller online, but we could probably take one, maybe two more callers if you wanted to call in, 410-922-6680. I put my glasses on even for this, Chris, just so I could see Dan in Sykesville. How can we help you?
Hey, guys, and I have a couple questions, if you let me, but the one, my primary question was about a piece of property that I subdivided from my primary residence.
Okay.
Sold that subdivided piece of property in 2021. So when I do my taxes, you know, cost basis would include things that it, money it took to subdivide it, and maybe even commission. But the actual property seems kind of subjective to me because, you know, it never was its own piece of property. I only have
so you subdivided it, right?
Right.
So you would be able to take a portion of the original parcel and determine some logical way that you could allocate the bases between what you paid for the whole and what the subdivide part was. Now, for example, if the whole had a house on it and 50 acres, let's say, and then you subdivided 2 acres off and sold that, you know, you can't just say, well, it's 2 divided by 50, and that's what we're going to move. You'd have to say, well, wait, the house is worth something, and the land was worth this, and so now I'm going to subdivide that land parcel off to that 2 acres that I subdivided out.
And if it's worth enough, you know, a lot of times our clients will actually get an appraiser to come in and do an appraisal.
And say that's right. How much of the value of the land was moved to that
we
piece.
We do a lot of farm properties like that.
Yeah, because you got to keep in mind that that parcel that he divided out could have been worth a lot more than that parcel down by the creek that couldn't be subdivided if you wanted to, right?
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it just depends on how you want to do that to get the maximum cost basis to that property so that you don't pay a lot of taxes on the sale of it.
Right. That's great. I mean, I just figured you'd tell me there wasn't an actual formula of any sort. So it's,
there is not a formula per se, but you have to be able to support and defend what you put down on that return.
That makes sense. I gotcha. So if you didn't have other callers, I had a couple other questions.
I don't, so go for it. You're the man.
Got about $750,000 in 401k IRA money, but about $300,000 of it is rollover money. Is it rule of thumb I should maybe think about, since I'm 60, you know, paying the taxes on that rollover money now? Or, see, I'm a little bit confused, like, or should I think that maybe my income in retirement would be less, so it's better just to wait?
Well, there's no difference between rollover money and other. If it's pre-tax, it's pre-tax. It pretty much follows all the same rules, right?
Well, it's different from Roth money, right?
Yeah, if it's you, when you say rollover, you're just saying pre-tax. So pre-tax is pre-tax if it's 401k pre-tax, if it's IRA pre-tax, if it's 403b pre-tax, it's pre-tax, right?
Correct.
Okay. So that money, you know, you have to be careful about how you convert to Roth that money. You don't want to go crazy, you know, converting money and shooting up the tax brackets you're paying in when you know that, you know, maybe I'd be able to do it slowly and keep it in the 22% bracket or keep it in the 24% bracket. Also, you have to think about, where am I going to live in retirement? Are you going to stay in Maryland? And are they going to come through with this $150,000 tax-free income? And would that help you, you know? And could I convert it then? And if I do it then I'm going to – it's 8.5% tax right there that you're saving. So you got to be careful with these conversions. You get too many crazy people telling people, hey, convert it all, you know. And it's like, you know, you're going to pay 37% bracket when you're plus the state of Maryland. So you're talking 45% bracket. And remember, Maryland also has a millionaire tax. It's like 1.2% more of any income if you're over $1 million. So if you do a big, big conversion, it could really cost you a fortune. So be careful and do it wisely, do it slowly, do it with good tax advice.
I see. I got you. I appreciate that. My last question, if I got time, was, I don't know if you guys do this, but since it's, you know, I'm a Baltimore guy and you guys are Baltimore people and this particular stock is a Baltimore stock, what if you guys had any intel on T. Rowe Price? I have about 1,000 shares and I'm in it from way back at $9 a share, but, you know, it's...
Well, I mean, I don't. All I can do is give you my general thoughts about T. Rowe Price, and that is that it's an age old company that has a good formula. They're one of the better active managers there is in the country. Okay, they've done a good job, and they got a lot of funds that do really well on a regular basis, and so they're hurt by the indexing trend. But they're not terribly hurt by the indexing trend because they seem to have, you know, a lot of funds that have done quite well and have beat their indexes on a regular basis. So yeah, I'm not at all negative on T. Rowe Price. I see no reason to worry or run from T. Rowe Price. And sooner or later, they're going to have to come out of their staunchy old line, you know, this is how we do things. And they're going to have to come up with a long-term strategy because the world's changing. And the financial consultant has to understand that.
Yep.
And T. Rowe Price has to understand that, too, that you're going to have more than just, you know, doing a good, you know, think you're doing a good investment job. And I think they understand that. And they're ready for that challenge in the future.
Also, I'll add that, you know, I don't want to get Drew started on the list of financial companies he'd like to tell you are terrible. But T. Rowe, Schwab, you know, Vanguard, there's a number of companies out there. I still kept you with Vanguard, right?
Yes, okay. I like Vanguard.
There's a number of companies out there that have acted correctly over time. I don't know if they did everything right. You know, I'm not going to sign off on everything they've ever done. But there's so many bad actors that the ones who've been doing it decently stand
what
out.
What you're saying is T. Rowe has always tried to do right for their investors.
As far as we've
Vanguard
known and
has
seen.
Always tried to do right. Schwab has always tried to do best for their investors. But I'll tell you, there's plenty of companies out
there's
there.
There's a lot of people we didn't
cannot necessarily make that comment about, you know? So, well, you know.
The drop just confused me because they've always had a low PE ratio. They've got a 40-year record with paying dividends.
Anytime, Dan, that the stock market starts going down, brokerage firms and asset managers will immediately take big hits.
Because our income goes down.
Because their income goes down. So it's just a matter of what's going on right now. Markets are, you know, down, and so their income's going to be down. So you just got to expect it when you have down markets. But when you get the next up market, T. Rowe Price should catch up and go well beyond its previous high.
Right.
At least that's a guess. I should say.
Yeah. This is all speculation.
And we do not own any T. Rowe Price stock as an investment management company.
Thank you.
You don't have to say that, Mike.
Thank you. What's the guy that with all the sound machines?
Bang! Jim Cramer.
Thank you, Mr. Cramer, for your disclosure.
Thank you. Bing! Bang! You know.
Well, I appreciate your guys' input on all those topics.
All right, buddy. Good call. Good questions.
All righty.
Take care.
Thank you.
Anyway, we only got about a minute left to go, Mikey. Anything you wanted to talk about?
No, I mean, it's tax season. This morning, you and I, you know, we shot our video. So that's actually one thing I'd like to talk about.
Any of our listeners can get our Pulse video. Yep. It's always available every month.
And we talked
about the markets, as we always do, but yep. then we also talked about the five or six things that drive us crazy.
Our monthly video is the same as the radio show. It's not a commercial. It's education. So www.financialconsult.com. When you go on there, now there is a pop-up. It pops up and says, hey, do you want to get the Financial Pulse? I don't know if it says newsletter or monthly something or other. But sign up for that, and every month in your inbox, you'll get, you know, our most recent articles, one or two articles, and our monthly video, which I really think, you know, I get just tons of positive feedback from our clients and from others. You know, it's kind of funny sometimes. I've always told you I never wanted to be a celebrity, but I walk around sometimes, and eventually somebody's staring at me in the room, and it's because they watch our monthly videos.
Yeah, yeah, and we do webinars teaching a different topic and yep. you know, different things like that. And also all of our radio shows are podcasts too.
Yep.
So you can get those on iTunes or Podbean or any of those other. I don't know if we go to Spotify. Do we? I don't think so.
We'll have to ask Chris. Well, I don't know. We'll have to ask Shannon later. But
I know they go to iTunes because, you know, I listen to them occasionally there.
Visit our website and go to that education center. You know, if the way we do the radio show is any indication, it's all just meant to help you.
Yep. Anyway, great show, Mikey. We'll be back next week with Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. I know things are going-